they were eating, Jesus took bread and blessed it, and broke it, and gave it to the disciples, and said, "Take, eat, this is my body." And he took the cup and gave thanks, and gave it to them, saying, "Drink ye all of it, for this is my blood of the New Testament, which is shed for many for the remission of sins. But I say unto you, I will not drink henceforth of this fruit of the vine, until that day when I drink it new with you in my Father's kingdom." This time, let's mark our songbooks at number 668. 668 will be our song of invitation. And once you've marked that, let's turn to number 286. 286. I care not today what tomorrow may bring, if shadow or sunshine or rain. The Lord I know the ruler of everything, and all my worry is vain.
Living by faith,
yes, living by faith
in Jesus above, trusting, confiding.
Testament of the Bible. if it hadn't been a long time
removed from it, it'll be a surprise for most brethren to say, now, I don't know that I've ever read much out of 2 Chronicles. But 2 Chronicles in chapter 30 has a wonderful series of ideas that tell us about God's work with our lives and work with Hezekiah's life back in that day and time. The Passover had not been observed by the people of Israel for quite some time. Some suggest that the Passover was stopped 260 years before, when they divided the north and the south of the kingdom of Israel. Those in the north went their way and went the ways of some of the idolatrous ways. Those in the south went their way by way of the priest and the ideas of the gospel and teaching about the Christ that was coming. But in regard to this particular matter, we think about how God wants them to recognize him. And the unique way in which he wants that to be done is much like in today's time. He wants us to practice walking in the light. As we study this morning in 1 John chapter 2, as he so walked, let us walk in his steps, walk his way, do the things that he taught us, and be the kind of people that Jesus himself taught. And so in that regard, we talk about this being a relationship with him. Hezekiah becomes king at that point in time. Hezekiah will be a good king. He'll be a good helper to all the cause today. And we read here in 2 Chronicles chapter 30 at verses 1 and 2. And Hezekiah sent all of Israel and Judah and wrote letters also to Ephraim and to Manasseh, who were on the other side of the Jordan River, that they should come to the house of the Lord at Jerusalem and keep the Passover unto the Lord God of Israel. And the king had taken counsel and his princes and all the congregation in Jerusalem to keep the Passover in the second month. You'll observe that Hezekiah is seeking to get people back to the ways of God. And knowing that they had not done that, yet they had read about it and they knew that it was there, but they had not practiced it in a long period of time. Now and then, come together and let's practice this thing and let's get it done in such a way that we all can be blessed as a result of it. Notice in regard to this matter that he sent word to various leaders in various places. The word that is used in reference to those particular leaders is the word post, from which we get our postal workers and postmen and postwomen today in time to deliver mail. And that was the word that was used back there in that reference to those people in circumstances like that. It is said in verse 3, for they could not keep it at that time because the priest had not sanctified themselves sufficiently, neither had the people gathered themselves together to Jerusalem. And the thing pleased the king and all the congregation. They were glad that somebody was bringing that to their attention. They were thankful that that was the way it was. And they were giving the word out to everybody by way of these posts that there was something going on in regard to the way that they got together to observe the Passover time. You and I find ourselves observing as we gather on the first day of the week to remember the body of Jesus Christ and the blood of Jesus Christ and remember him in regard to what he did for us at Calvary. And as we find this to be the case, these people were finding a way of life that they knew was there, but they had not practiced it in a long, long period of time. And yet God wanted them to practice that way of life because we know that the Lord enters in the picture, and so it is. Verses 5 and 6. And they established a decree and made proclamation throughout all Israel, from Beersheba even to Dan, from the south all the way to the north, that they should come to keep the Passover unto the Lord God of Israel at Jerusalem, for they had not done it for a long time in such sort as it was written. So the post went with the letters from the king, and his princes throughout all Israel and Judah, and according to the commandment of the king, saying, ye children of Israel, the Lord God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, that he would turn again unto them and turn to their right way. And he says there in verse 6, and that escaped out of the land of the kings of Assyria. And be ye not like your fathers and like your brethren, which trespassed against the Lord God of their fathers, who therefore gave them up to desolation, as ye see. Notice he did not want them to practice the way of life that was way of life practiced by their fathers. Although they have done it well and done it good, they have done it for themselves and not for God's sake. And notice what it says in verse 8. Now be ye not stiff-necked as your fathers were, but yield yourselves unto the Lord and enter into his sanctuary, which he hath sanctified forever, and serve the Lord your God, that the fierceness of his wrath may be turned away from you. The idea of coming under the wrath of God was subject to Hezekiah at this time. And he was thinking about all of them being rejected and denied by God because of their unsanctified way and because of their practice of doing this in regard to the stiff-necked condition. They were rejecting that way of life being the way that they should follow. He says in verse 9, for if ye turn again unto the Lord your brethren, and your children shall find compassion before them that lead them captive, so that they shall come again into this land. For the Lord your God is gracious and merciful, and will not turn away his face from you if you return unto him. Returning to the Lord is a wonderful way of life to do. And coming back to the way of the Lord is a way of life that we should follow if we get away from the Lord. Simon was one in Acts chapter 8 who got away from the Lord rather quickly. For he observed something being done, he being a magician, so to speak, as he worked the way of his warcraft, and being thought of as some great one by the people of his day and time, he found a way to see this really practiced, really done. And he decided that he would offer money to Simon Peter and others in regard to getting this power of the Holy Spirit, that whomever he laid in his hands, they would recover as well. And that was what he offered him. Simon Peter said to him, thy money perish with thee. Thy heart is not right with God. He had not made this arrangement with God and made arrangement with I and could not have. But he was making it with himself, thinking that he would put it over on the hand of God and put it on the face of God and do it this way. He was told rather, repent therefore of this thy wickedness and pray God that the thought and intent of your heart may be forgiven you. He was a man who was honest to himself and he realized what he was doing. And listen to what he said. He said to Simon Peter, pray ye to the Lord for me that none of these things you've spoken may come upon me. You know, sometimes there are people who find themselves in a way away from God, and being pointed out to them that they're away from God as they practice what they do, they become mad and angry at the person, rather than, as Simon did, pray ye to the Lord for me that none of these things could come upon me. He did not want any of the bad things to be part of his life. It is noted in verse 10, so the post passed from the city to city through the country of Ephraim and Manasseh, even unto Zebulun. And they laughed them to scorn and mocked them. Nevertheless, divers of Asher and Manasseh and Zebulun humbled themselves and came to Jerusalem. There were a group of people that they saw no need to do this, no need to go to Jerusalem, no need to practice this Passover, no need to think of God of heaven. They simply made them light. They rejected their way. They scorned them. They mocked them. And as a result of mocking somebody, what you do is you get down on your knees and you say, this is worship, this is worship, this is what you do. But you get down on your knees in such a way that you just mock the idea of getting down on your knees before God. You're going to make light of it. And they made light of it. It noted in verse 12, also in Judah, the hand of God was given him one heart to do the commandment of the king and the princes by the word of the Lord. And there assembled at Jerusalem's much people to keep the feast of unleavened bread in the second month, the very great congregation. And they arose and took away the altars that were in Jerusalem. All the altars of incense took they away and cast them into the book of Kidron. And they killed the Passover on the 14th day of the second month, and the priests and the Levites were ashamed and sanctified themselves and brought in the burnt offerings into the house of the Lord. You'll notice that the Passover was begun not with everybody's approval and not with everybody going along with it, but the idea was to do the right thing by God. And God was blessed them and blessed them well. And as they stood in their place after their manner, according to the order of the law of Moses, the man of God, the priest sprinkled the blood which they had received of the hand of the Levites. And there were many in the congregation that were not sanctified. Therefore the Levites had the charge of killing the Passovers for every one that was taken not clean, to sanctify them unto the Lord. For the multitude of the people, as many as from Ephraim and Manasseh and Issachar and Zebulun, had not cleansed themselves, yet did they eat the Passover otherwise than that was written. And the good Lord pardoned every one of them. But Hezekiah prayed for them, and the good Lord pardoned every one of them. Isn't it good to know that God cares about enough that when we make the effort to come back to Him, He recognizes that. And as we read regarding the young man and his leaving home, his father ran to meet him. And so does God run to meet us as we return to His right way. It is noted there in verse number 20, and the Lord hearkened to Hezekiah and healed the people. There was sanctification being done, and there was the cleansing being offered to them. And now then, God of heaven recognized that and practiced it. The children of Israel that were present in Jerusalem, verse 21, kept the feast of the unleavened bread 7 days with gladness. And the Levites and the priests praised the Lord day and by day, singing with loud instruments unto the Lord. And Hezekiah spake comfortably with all the Levites that taught the good knowledge of the Lord. And they did eat throughout the feast 7 days, offering peace offerings and making confession to the Lord God of their fathers. It wasn't just doing things, it was doing it with God's approval. The instruments that were used at that day and time were instruments that they did, and they would find themselves caught up in that sort of way. I wonder what that was the reason that God in the New Testament talked about in Ephesians 5 and 19, speaking to yourselves in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord. The Lord is involved in that matter, and the Lord would be involved if they did it this way. And if we do it this way today, we practice the New Testament system of time, of the songs that we sing, and the way that we do it. We find ourselves getting caught up in the words, getting caught up in the mannerisms of them, and getting caught up in that idea. We find ourselves away from God, away from His practice of praising Him and encouraging one another, and that's the thing that happens. And it's sad that that is the thing that does take place, because if we find ourselves doing that, we'll find ourselves going the way that some have gone, and that is getting the better voices and the better singers and the more harmonious ways, and getting them a special microphone that they can sit up toward the front or sides of the building and sing together. And of course, they override everybody else. And everybody else does not sing as well out loud, but they really get to looking at and being part of what they hear from others that are singing that way. Is that what the Lord wants? No, he does not. It is noted in verse 24, and Hezekiah, king of Judah, did give the congregation 1,000 bullocks and 7,000 sheep. And the princes gave to the congregation 1,000 bullocks and 10,000 sheep. And great number of priests sanctified themselves, and all the congregation of Judah, with the priests and the Levites, and all the congregation that came out of Israel, and the strangers that came out of the land of Judah, that dwelt in Judah, rejoiced. So that there was a great joy in Jerusalem. And since the time of Solomon, the king, the son's king of the Israel, there was not the like in Jerusalem. Then the priest, the Levites rose and blessed the people, and their voice was heard, and their prayer came up to his holy dwelling place, even to heaven. I think a lot of times we don't think about a real prayer that is offered and how far it goes. It goes beyond the room in which we are speaking it. It goes beyond the house where it's said. It goes beyond the yard where it is voiced. It goes beyond the tree that we spoke up to. It goes all the way to God in heaven. We want that to be done. We want that to be the true worship of God. We want to be people to do that way that is right and good and godly. Today, as we think about our relationship with the Lord and his relationship with us, is that not the case that we need to change some things about our lives as we bow before the Lord in the songs we sing and the prayers that are offered to him? And realize that these prayers and these songs that are sung do not stay within the framework of the building. They're not just heard by us. They're heard all the way to heaven. And God in heaven hears you. That's the way of life that he wants to do. In the New Testament Bible, the worship of God, when it tells us there in Ephesians 5 and 19, when he says, speaking to yourselves, he knew that they were together and they were worshiping him together in the process of their singing. Speaking to yourselves in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord. When I find myself just singing because I want to sing the words that are being said and the harmony is to be sung, my worship becomes a worship of me and not of God. When I from the heart want to praise God in the song, and acknowledge God in the song. As I left a few minutes ago to pick up the recorder that would spare my time this afternoon to put it on the air for our website, I sang all the way down the hall. And as I went across the parking lot and went in the house and got the right recorder that I didn't have in my pocket and put it in my coat pocket, walked back and came over here, and I was singing, and it was a different song that I was singing. So I adjusted that song to what Brother Tom was leading here and sang it as I walked on up the aisle and got my seat here in the right way. praise God in the ways that we worship Him. As we sing this song now today, let's praise the Lord as we sing together. Let's stand together. If you need to come to Him, please do so. Let's stand and sing.
Come to Jesus, He will save you, though your sins as crimson glow. If you give your heart to Jesus, He will make it white as snow. Come to Jesus, come to Jesus, come to Jesus, come today. Come to Jesus, come to Jesus. Come to Jesus, come, come today. Come to Jesus, dying sinner, other Savior there is none. He will share with you His glory when your pilgrimage is done. Come to Jesus, come to Jesus, come to Jesus, come today. Come to Jesus, come to Jesus, come to Jesus, come, come today.
God bless you, everyone. Look forward to seeing you tonight at 6, right here in this service. No Wednesday night service.
Let's turn to number 500. 500. And after this song, Brother Rich, Jeff will lead us in a word of prayer.
Take the name of Jesus with you, child of sorrow. It will joy. Precious name, oh how sweet, hope of earth and joy of heaven, precious name, oh how sweet, hope of earth and joy of
Thank you. get doctors and PT and everything just to get up there.
But I would sisters. I mean, this is where I get my strength.
Well, when I went after one of the 80s, you know, I went back, of course, I wasn't in Jonesboro then, but even just going to Davis.
Yeah,
for sure. So many that met me at the door.
Yeah.
Stuff like that. That's okay. That's one of those times. This was part of it. And then when I did go back,